Good afternoon, everyone, Tampa Bay and around the globe. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries, bringing you our weekly show at this time, live as always, Living the Good Life. And it's always a joy to be on the air with you. And I was out of town last Sunday. My associate pastor, Pastor Jim, hosted the show, and I'm sure he did a great job. I didn't get a chance to hear it. I was driving in the car up to Indiana to my kids and grandkids and spending a few days there with them, and actually brought my two 14-year-old grandsons back home with me for spring break. So that's where I've been, and I'm so glad to be back in this chair again on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, live every week, Tampa Bay time. Some people listen to our shows later on our website, and you can do that from now until Jesus comes, because we post them the next day after every show. And so it's a good thing to listen to later on, and we'll talk more about that in a minute with Betty. So welcome to Living the Good Life. We're glad you're joining us. You might grab a Bible. We're going to be starting a new series today, and it's really going to be a life-changing event for a lot of people, and we know it, and we thank God for a great show in advance. Betty, are you on the air with me?
Yes. Good afternoon, Pastor Marcia McAllister.
Hey, Betty Thomas, all the way from Connersville, Indiana. And we just saw each other a couple days ago, didn't we?
Yes, and what a blessing it was.
Wasn't it?
What a blessing it was.
Yes, and later on I think we'll talk a little bit about your daughter Megan, and because see, we can talk behind her back, right? She's not going to be on the air today, so she...
I'm teasing. You know what? She can come right through this door that separates us because she's listening to the radio show.
Oh, she is. Oh, then we might. Hey, you know what? We just may bring her on there for a minute here later on.
We can do that. Let's be nice for right now.
Let's be nice for right now. Mm-hmm. Betty, my dear friend, you and your family were part of my church in Indiana back in the late 80s, early 90s. And we've been great friends. And even though we were separated for a few years there, and kind of weren't communicating much, we sure have been for the last several years. And I thank God for you, and that you and Megan are a part of our radio team and regular contributors on the air, which is such a blessing. So,
well, I tell you what, it's a blessing to be a part of, Beacon of Hope from afar. And you know what? When you're in the heavenly realms, and when you know that you're saved, you're blood bought, you know what? There is no distance, you know.
That's exactly right.
And sisters in the Lord.
And technology these days helps us tremendously, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, especially text messages. Are you on the air yet?
Right, I know.
Are you home yet?
Are you home? Where are you?
Yeah, that's right.
I know.
Thank
it's
God.
Just great, isn't it? So
yes, it is.
We thank God for this opportunity. And, I just said, and I mean this with all my heart, I love being in this chair. I love hosting this show. We are at the almost, Betty, in a couple weeks, we will celebrate the seventh anniversary, the end of our seventh year on the air. And Cedric has got to do something about that. Cedric, what do you got here in store? Is it applesauce? It's applesauce. Here it comes.
It is applesauce.
Applesauce at the end of our seventh year.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. Cool. And that day will be a special day, too, for as we begin our eighth year live on the air every Sunday afternoon on this radio station. Started out with a 60-minute show, and then within a few weeks it went to 90 minutes, and it was like that for years. And then two or three years ago we went to the two-hour format. So, you and I talk about it sometimes after we get off the air that we could have gone another hour, right, Betty?
Oh, yes. I said, it's like when the Holy Spirit is so present, whether it be at your church, your home, or while you're on the radio, you don't want to leave it.
No.
You want to keep on keeping on.
Right. It's just fun, isn't it, to be in the presence of the Lord. I mean,
so much fun. We had the church that we attend here in Indiana, the presence of the Lord was so strong today. And it's just, praying that, that the Holy Spirit, goes through with the rest of the churches throughout the country
oh,
and
yes.
saturates the atmosphere, and seeing people healed, seeing people delivered.
I mean, amen.
Pastor, it's just what we're going to see in the next few months, weeks, and years are just going to, maybe it won't set us back, but some people, you know, those naysayers.
Right.
They're going to be totally amazed.
Totally.
At what God's going to do.
Because God is moving. I so agree with you. And yes, we had one of those kind of Holy Spirit services this morning at Beacon. And God just moved through the music and through the word and praying for people at the end of the service. It was a mighty day. And just thank God. He gets all the glory and the praise for what he's doing in our lives, in our churches, in our homes, in our relationships, in our families. It is just amazing and wonderful. I had such a good week this week, you know, with my kids and grandkids, and you and Megan and little Andrew were a part of that Friday, and we had a big old pizza party, didn't we?
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? That pizza was good.
Wasn't it good? That's the best pizza around. That's called Pizza King in Indiana. I'll tell you, it's really good.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you can't beat it. You can't beat a good Pizza King.
But, you know, just holding my babies, my great-granddaughters, and playing with them, and your little Andrew, and it's just so good to have family and friends, and you guys, your family is like our family. You're part of our family. And to have my son there and my granddaughter and the babies and all of you and us just praising God, thanking him for the miracles. My grandbabies were a miracle last year, and your grandson that's going to be born is a miracle. And we will talk about that with Megan a little later, but just what God is doing, Betty. It is so amazing. It's so wonderful, isn't it?
Oh, yes. You know, and we go down the path of life, and we see, you know, we have some trials and tribulations. But, you know, God, if we focus on him, keep him first, he's right there with us all the time. And, you know, I think a lot of the trials and tribulations that we go through, Pastor, makes us He wants us to come closer to him. He wants us to abide by him. He wants us so close to him that we can actually hear him breathe.
Whoa.
And that's what the Lord wants more than anything else. Because, you know, when your Heavenly Father loves you that much,
yes,
that there is no separation. Because if there's a separation, it's because we left.
Right. Not because he went anywhere, right?
Because he left. Because he's right where we left him.
Amen. Would you start with prayer, and then we're going to get to our first song?
Oh, me? Oh,
you, sure.
Me,
you,
oh,
Betty.
Praise God.
PT.
I'm on fire today, so if I get a little loud and get a little crazy, it's because I am just on fire.
All right. All right. Let's go with it.
Praise you, Jesus, for what you have done in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Praise you, God, for what you're doing and going to do in our lives. Lord God, we pray for the listeners today, and we pray for the listeners that are going to listen later on to this broadcast. Lord God, we pray that your hand is upon this ministry today, that, Lord God, that they will hear through us what you want us to say.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And we thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord God, for the powerful mm-hmm. move of your Holy Spirit through our churches today. And Lord God, we thank you and praise you and give you all the glory for what is going to be done in the next few days, weeks, and months, and years through the
praise
power
God.
Of your Holy Spirit. Bless these airways today, Lord God, and let your word will not come back void.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord God, for salvation, healing, and the ministry of your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Listen to this first song by Todd Agnew. It's called Shepherd.
Oh,
Praise God. That's the answer right there. We just need to hear your voice, mighty God. Show us the way. Whatever you might say, Betty, this is the hour when we need to get our ears turned on. Do you know what I'm saying? To the voice of God.
Yes, because the Lord wants us to hear what he has to say.
Yep.
And a lot of times, Pastor, we're not diligently listening.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Because
there's distractions in this world.
Yeah.
You know, there's the enemy that tries to keep us from hearing what the Lord has to say.
Right.
Our own circumstances in our life is that we're so caught up in the circumstances that we don't really hear what the Lord's trying to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that, you know, we can still hear that still small voice, but, you know, the Lord talks to us in many ways through his word.
Yes.
You know, through prayer.
Right.
You know, it's just like hearing him. We were coming home today from church, and Megan's hearing from God, you know, as she's driving.
Wow.
And
yes, exactly. Yes.
So, I mean, it can happen at any time, any place, anywhere that, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, in a pew. It doesn't have to be any place in particular. It's just wherever we surrender and say, God, we need you. We need you to communicate with us. We need you to show us the path that you want us to go down, or we need to hear from you in our circumstances of what we need to do.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, it's just amazing, you know, if we get into God's word that, you know, most everything that we go through is already, you know, the Lord's already, he's already went through.
Amen. And, you know, Betty, I think it really comes to the point where people have to decide that they want to hear what God has to say. And that's one reason I wanted to start the show with that song we just did. We need to hear God's voice. Okay. And in this new series that we're starting today, he's bringing us out to bring us in. And we'll explain that in a little while. But let's put it this way. You can't move into the new day that God has for you if you don't listen to what he has to say. How are you going to know where you're going? You know, I love my little GPS tablet that sits in my console when I'm out showing homes as a realtor. And this thing talks to me, and her name is Maggie. I call her Maggie. And Maggie always gets me to the right place. I mean, Maggie has never given me wrong directions to these houses. And, you know, I just put in the address and away we go. And I may have no clue what neighborhood I'm going to, etc. But Maggie takes me point by point steps and then pulls me right up in front of the house and says, the address is on the right, or, you know, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't you, I mean, if we, and I put trust in Maggie. Okay. I put trust in that app, that GPS app on my tablet. Think about that. I don't say, gosh, Maggie, are you going to give me the wrong directions today? Or Maggie, are you going to lead me to the right house? Or am I going to get there and it's the wrong? You know what I'm saying, Betty? Go with that.
Well, you know, GPS can also stand for God's Protective Service.
Oh, really? It does? Okay,
well,
there you
could.
Go. That's, you know, cute. That's, God's, yeah, Protective Service. Okay, got,
yeah,
it.
That's, you know, that's Betty lingo, but, you know,
all right.
you can use it however you want.
So it's not really global positioning. It's really God's Protective Service. I like,
yeah,
that. Go ahead.
For most people, yes, because, you know, even though you hear that voice, is that, that's how dependent that we need to be on the Lord.
Amen.
Because you're dependent on Maggie getting you from point to point.
I am.
This is in the world today, you know, traveling from point A to point B.
Right.
But in our spiritual life, in the life that we know that the Lord wants us, he wants to lead us in, is that God has no skips, no hits, no errors in where he wants you to go.
Right.
Because he will point you in the right direction, but it's your choice.
Right.
If you choose to hear it and go down that path. And I think a lot of times, Pastor, you may not agree with me on this one, but I think a lot of times people don't want to hear maybe what God has to say.
Oh, I so agree with you, because fear and doubt come in. And people think, oh, God may, you know, this is the old proverbial, God's going to, if I say yes to God, he's going to send me to Africa as a missionary. I mean, I think we've all thought that as kids. I did as a kid. God called me to preach and called me to the ministry first when I was 4 and then again when I was 16. And when I was 16, I just said, God, I'll be the best medical doctor for you, because I had great plans of what I was going to do with my life, which I did go ahead and go to pre-med and complete it and all that. And I had my plans, and I was afraid of God's plans for me, Betty.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's just like back in 1985, we belonged to a church in Anderson before we came to yours. And they were calling out for missionaries.
Right.
And guess where they were going? Africa.
Right.
Well, here I am in the back. We usually sit in the back pew. And it's like, oh, God, don't send me. God,
right.
Don't send me. Don't send me. But guess who he was talking to? He was talking to my spouse.
Aha. Uh-huh. Right. Joe. Yes. Joe ended up going, didn't he, for a while?
Yes, he did. Yes, for an entire month. And it was life-changing. So when God sends you on a mission, it's going to change you forever.
Woo!
Because you listened to his calling. You did what he told you to do. And just like in the Bible, what he did with so many people is that if you put him first and you listen to what he has to say, he blesses you over and above what you can ever, I mean, you can't imagine.
Oh, absolutely.
The Lord can bless you. And it's amazing. It's just like with, you know, with grandchildren, you know, how we're so blessed, you know, to have grandchildren, and how, you know, we thought we were blessed to have children. Well, we're double blessed to have grandchildren.
And great-grandchildren.
And some of us, you know, Nana, Florida.
The great.
Great.
Not great Nana, Florida. No.
No, no, that's what I wanted to call you, but you corrected me.
No, it's Nana, Florida, the great. Yeah.
I heard it, and I said it straight.
That's right.
But it all boils down to, Pastor, is listening.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we don't, our plans don't really line up with what God wants. And then we try to overpower him and go about our own plans, and it's like, man, what happened? Where did my GPS take me this time? Well, and I can see the Lord sitting back saying, if you'd only listen to me.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, there was no, there may be some correction in there along the way too, but most likely it's like, you know, it's like we tell our kids, I told you so.
That's right.
You know, I told you so.
Well, you know, this is interesting. We've started this show. I'll get it right here in a minute. We started the show today talking about this because this concept fits in perfectly to this new series of bringing us out to bring us in. Because a lot of times we need to come out of being deaf to the voice of God. We need to come out of doing our own thing. We need to come out of wanting it our way. You know, wanting to tell God the way it's going to go. Like I did when I was 16. I said to God at that altar at this big church in Marion, Indiana, where my dad was preaching a revival that night. And I went to the altar at the end when they gave an invitation. And I remember I can remember what every ounce of what that looked like that night, where I was emotionally. I can remember laying across that, kind of draping my arms on that altar and crying to God and saying, God, I don't want to be in the ministry. I want to be a doctor like I've always planned. And I mean, I was telling God what I was going to do, you know, God, and I kept hearing his voice, Betty, and I kept saying, I'll be the best doctor for you. I'll even go on mission trips for you. I remember saying that. And that was not God's plan for me. So that brings us full circle to Luke 13, starting with verse 10. Jesus was teaching in one of the meeting places on the Sabbath. There was a woman present, so twisted and bent over with arthritis that she couldn't even look up. Some translations say so beat up with infirmity. Okay. Basically, I like the way the Message Bible translates it, because that is what was wrong with her. She had a bad arthritic back and she was bent over at the waist. And I mentioned this morning in our service. She was looking at the ground at all times. She was not able to look up at the sun. She was not able to look up at her spouse or her children and look them in the eye. If anybody wanted to look her in the eye, they had to get down on the floor and look up at her. Betty, look, think about this woman, how bound up she was.
Well, and how much, I mean, I have, and you have, we have backs that are
less than perfect, right?
Less than perfect. And I can't imagine the pain that she was in being slouched over, however you want to, you know, whatever vocabulary you want to use, is that she couldn't look up unless she laid down.
Think about that.
I mean, I can't even imagine having to walk around for so long like that. But maybe she didn't have any other choice until the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
It had to be a very, very severe case of arthritis. Maybe she had busted discs. I mean, who knows? All we know is that this word is translated arthritis in the Message Bible. So her back, I think, was stuck, you know, in a certain position, you know. I've got this finger, you know, that you all tease me about, you know, and even the people at the nursing home want to see this finger, you know, because it's like all, shut up, Betty. It's all twisted. You know, it goes, can you see it, Cedric? Yeah, it's really bad. And it's like going at a crazy angle. And my grandkids, when I point to anything, they so lovingly look up at the sky and say, what, you know, that kind of stuff. So anyway, and that's arthritis. Okay, that's what that is. You know, that's taken my finger and moved it to that odd position at the first knuckle, you know. But, I mean, it's still functional, et cetera. But, you know, it can, and some days does, get into pain, you know, especially if it's raining outside. But think about, I mean, that's my one joint in my one finger. Think about your whole back being so twisted up with pain that you cannot even look up. Because I did this morning in the service, Betty. If you think about it and you bend over at the waist, you know, you got to go way down there to not even be able to look up at all.
Mm-hmm.
This had to be extremely serious.
Well, and if you look, if you know anything about, you know, the skeletal body, the spine is the center of the core of your body.
Right.
And for it to be at that angle, it was very painful.
Oh.
You know, the spinal cord has so many nerve endings, only from going to a chiropractor for many years, is that there are nerve endings that affect other parts of your body.
Right.
Your legs, your arms, your neck. I mean,
I don't know how she even functioned in life.
She functioned at all.
Uh-uh. And she had to be in tremendous pain.
Yes.
Plus, think about it. Everybody was looking at her. I mean, you got somebody that's that position. And I think it's great this story is included in the many events that happened during Jesus' life. Because this looks like an impossible situation if your back is frozen in that position and all you can do is look down. But it's such a perfect metaphor for so many people that their lives seem to be just like that, doubled over. All they can do is look down and see the junk around them, the dirt on the floor. Carol just called in. Carol, weigh in on the woman with the arthritic back. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, there we go. Did you hear all that we've been talking about?
I heard that. I didn't hear your question, the last part.
I said, weigh in on this lady, you know, the arthritic back. And all she could do, she was bent over so far, Carol, that she could not look up. Think about how far over she had to be.
I think it's also a metaphor for our lives. A woman was there who'd been crippled by a spirit for 18 years.
18 years.
Not straighten up.
Yep.
And Jesus called her forward and said, woman, you're set free from your infirmity.
Right.
Is that what he does to us when we commit ourselves to him?
Yes.
When we can't see up, we have to lie down to look up. That's a position that brings reverence when you really think about it. If you cannot look up into anybody's face and you can't see the face of Jesus, when you're bent down, you have to lie down to look up. Mm-hmm. And I know, I really think this is the metaphor for what happened to me. Jesus had been pursuing me for years and years and years, and I gave bits and pieces as I kind of saw fit. I wrote some things as I revealed, you know, they were revealed to me, but the commitment wasn't total on my part. It was piecemeal when it was basically kind of convenient.
Mm-hmm.
But when I broke my left ankle, I already had a broken right ankle, and it was fused. But when I broke my left ankle, and I busted up my knee and my left wrist and tore the bursa in my elbow.
And, now, that's a bad day.
It was not a good one. But what it did in Revelation to me was when I laid down, he got my attention. Because all I could do without the assistance from a lady that was there to care for me, and she came every morning at 8:30 and left about 4:30, maybe even 5. And we were in constant prayer and talking spirituality. And I realized one day, I said, oh my goodness, I've been laid down to look up.
Amen.
I've been laid down because I can't wiggle and do anything for myself. So from whence cometh my help?
Uh-huh. Right.
My help came from the Lord and the woman that was there to take care of me every day. And then, and the Lord let me see, Carol, I can do whatever I want to with you. If I want to break you in a thousand different ways, I can. But I want you to hear what I'm saying to you, and I want you to take up your cross and come after me.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And for me, that is very much like a metaphor. I had to lie down to look up.
Well, it goes along with this series. Bring us out to bring us in. So we come out of the way we have been living or believing or thinking, and we come in to everything that God has for us. And that's a big difference for a lot of people. They have not lived in the expectancy of what God is doing in their lives, or even wanting God to communicate with them much at all. Betty, talk to me about that, because I know you went through, you got saved in the 1980s, didn't you? You went most of your life, I mean, not most of your life, but you are older. anyway, you went through a lot of years without God, right?
Oh, yes, most of, probably almost 20-some years, I knew who Jesus was, but I didn't know how great he was.
Okay.
We hear of, Jesus is the Son of God, but that's all we knew. And then in 1985, it's like, I mean, just like the heavens opened up and God shone his glory. And that's how I accepted Jesus, was that I was a brand new person. I was changed. And
praise God.
But you know what, Pastor and Carol, it's because I wanted to be.
Ooh,
I didn't,
good point.
I did not want to be the person that I used to be. I was a very angry person. I had a lot of resentment. I had a lot of things that I wanted to get rid of. And by giving my life to the Lord, and I laid everything down at the altar, and I said, Lord, change me. Make me a new person. Basically, you know, get me out of here and bring me back in and closer to you.
Amen.
He did. He literally, I mean, when I said he changed my life, I mean, it didn't say I didn't have trials and troubles and tribulations, because he said it wasn't all going to be that easy.
Right.
But I wanted to change, because I didn't want to have resentment. Now, in the last few years, I realized why I had a lot of resentment, but it's because the Lord brought it to me at a time when I could deal with it.
Right.
And
he brought the realization of what you were feeling.
Yeah, it was reality of why I had so much resentment and so much anger. It was because of abuse.
Yeah.
Family abuse. It changed me in 1985. I mean, Pastor and Carol, I can tell you, I was totally changed. I was made a new person.
Amen.
Because I wanted to be.
Exactly. There you go. Carol, piggyback on that. Because, Carol, you did the same thing. When you're flat on your back with a busted ankle and everything else that was wrong with you, and you can't even get up and care for yourself.
I couldn't.
What does that do on the inside of you? You either get more resentful and bitter because you're laying there and you can't even go to work or whatever the case may be, or you start finding God, don't you?
Well, I had known him from the time I was three. He had been in my life from that time. It's just that my commitment was not as total as that situation warranted. But what happened to me in that situation, and prior to that, I was a deacon in a church and served the Lord very well. But I was not totally committed and in a partnership that felt the same way.
Okay, now wait just a minute. I want to make that point that you just made. People can be in church. They can be a leader. You are a deacon in a church. They can know God. They can be saved, quote unquote, know they're going to heaven, and still not be in the right place with God, correct?
Correct. You see, I was not accepting the fact that he had something, I'll say, bigger and better for me. I thought I was doing okay. You know, I had a piece of the pie.
Right.
I didn't know that I could have the whole pie. I thought I was just delegated to having a piece of the pie, and the
right.
pie being him deeper into my life than it was at the time. I thought that was relegated to other people, not me. I had several circumstances that made me feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And as I lay there and thought about it and prayed about it and asked him to heal me, I realized he didn't just knit the broken bones together. He healed my spirit into thinking that I was, you know, less than first class.
Hmm.
And that he spoke through me and to me when I was a young girl so many times. And I did not realize what he was trying to do to me. He was trying to make me step out further and step out of the boundaries that I had created and let society create for me. I stepped out of those boundaries and said, I will be all that I can be through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise
and he
God.
Will use me when, where, why, and how he chooses.
When you made that decision to take all he had for you.
I made that decision to land there because there's not much you can do. You're totally dependent on somebody else for everything. But I still think that was a lesson for me that, you know, I was dependent. I had to depend on him and the people he sent.
Well, this, okay, we got to talk about this. There is a pie in Indiana, and it is the Indiana State Pie, correct, Betty?
Amen.
And it is called Wick's Sugar Cream Pie. And it is the best pie other than a chocolate pie my mother used to make. But it is the best pie I've ever had, in this pie. When I go to Indiana, my kids and my grandkids always make sure that there is one of these pies in the freezer, okay? Or I go get it myself. Okay, the other day, we had not done that because my son's kitchen's torn up and due to a flood. And so we just really weren't cooking and all that. So we were going out to eat the other night, and we went out to the restaurant that makes these pies. Now, this pie is so famous that they make thousands of them a day, okay? And I'm sitting here thinking, why didn't I bring one home with me? But that's another story, and I'll beat myself up for that later. However, I am sitting there at the restaurant, and so where everybody's ordering food, and I ordered a salad and a piece of that pie, okay? Well, I finished that pie, and it was so wonderful that I called the waitress over, and I said, I'll have another piece of that pie. So I sat there and ate a salad and two great big pieces of old-fashioned sugar cream pie. The waitress, who is a family cousin, came over and said, would you like a whole pie? And I said, I would love to have a whole pie, but I would sit here and eat the whole pie, so I better not get one tonight, okay? I had, and I was thinking this, Carol, when you said all this, I had the opportunity to have a whole pie, and I just took two pieces of it because I thought, what am I going to do with the pie? But you know what I'm saying? all of that. And Carol, I believe, and Betty, that this is what happens with a lot of people. They get a piece. Maybe they get a second piece of a blessing of God, and they think, wow, this is great. And somebody says, wait a minute, you can have everything that God has planned for your life from the foundation of the earth. In this case, a whole pie. And you can have it all, and you go, nah, it's all right. I had a piece. It was great. I had a second piece. It was even more great. No, I'll just stop with that. Betty, comment on this, and we'll get back to Carol on this before we do this next song. Because you love that pie, too, don't you, Betty?
Oh, yes, yes. In fact, I thought, did she have pie and didn't offer me any?
Honey, I did not have any because I ate it at the restaurant.
Okay, all right.
No,
well,
I'm sorry. I would have had. I had it, yes. We had no kitchen, so.
I don't have resentment then, do I?
No resentment. We had no kitchen, so it was not possible. So
that's true. That's true. One of the things I think that we and the listeners need to understand is that God has blessings for us that we can never even see or imagine.
Yes. Yes.
Once we cut into the crust, once we get into the filling,
mm-hmm.
and you look at the filling, which would be the blessings of God, which would be your finances, well, say a spiritual, mental, physical type of filling that he gives us to fill us up and fill us overflowing,
mm-hmm.
is that the things of this world will fall away, but those blessings will still remain. And just like the taste of that sugar cream pie will remain in your thinker, in your brain.
Oh, it's there.
And in your taste buds for many a long time.
Till I get up there again.
Those were the things, but Pastor, they will pass away.
Right.
Those things will eventually go away. The things that God has for us will never go away. His love for us, his grace and his mercy and his love will never, ever leave us.
Amen. Woo, Carol, comment on this before we get to this next song.
Well, I find this all interesting because when you don't take the pie, and in my case, I didn't. I thought I only deserved a little smidgen, and you took just couple of slices.
But they were very big.
Okay, Betty, I'm hearing two halves. You know, she ate two halves.
No, I really didn't. But they were like, they each was about a quarter of the pie, yeah.
Okay.
I ate a half of
two quarters make a half, though.
Oh, yeah. Two quarters make
math.
A half. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You see, what happens is that people think they're unworthy. I mean, in my own situation, I thought, you know, I know you, Lord. I know you've been in my life. I've talked to you since I was 3 years old. And I know you've watched out for me. I know you've cared for me. I know you've pushed me to look a little harder, a little closer. But sometimes people, because we're ordinary human beings, and people have said things about us in the time we're knee-hop size to a grasshopper, you know, like whatever they might say to a child to disrupt that child's life or to a tease or whatever the child. And then that child grows to an adult still feeling that same teasing motion.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that feeling of unworthiness begins to wear like an old, hard, moth-eaten coat. And then there's fear, like, what can I do? How can I say? What do you want me to do? I have to do this and that and the other and leave here and go where? Where did you say I need to go? And then you say, why me? I mean, why did you pick me, Lord? Why did you say to me, you will preach? Why did you say that? You will teach. Why did you say those things to me? And then, how can I be useful to you, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I said to him. I said, okay. I've kind of, you know, in my mind, rationalized things out. And I said, okay, I'm going to ask the question that probably is going to change my entire thought process. Lord, how can I be useful to you?
Wow.
And boy, did that open up a well of information.
Ooh, girl.
You know, he began to tell me what I could do, how I could do it, showed me. And as we've all three spoken, you know, it's not all glory land. We come across some things that are difficult. We have to learn to make changes. First of all, we have to allow everybody else from beating us up verbally, physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually, whatever it is, because his hand is on us.
Amen.
Therefore, we are anointed. And what does Jesus say? Touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm.
Mm-hmm.
And if we allow ourselves to be harmed by John Q. Public or Jane Q. Public, we are taking a beating from that we don't need. But Christ has risen us above all of that. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that time that I rested, those months in a hospital bed in my living room, were times that I recuperated, that I found myself, that I knew who I was, that I knew I won't be deterred, and I don't give a flying rat toenail what somebody thinks about me if I'm doing the work of God, and he's very pleased with me.
Amen and amen. And you know what? This show is going to such a different place than what I thought. So some of you out there, either live listening now or later on our website, need to hear this. And so listen to this song by the group 33 Miles, Jesus Calling, and he's calling you, dear friend.
What do you see when you look at your world today? Is it so full of clutter that you feel like you're going insane? And you can't fight back 'cause you're just too afraid. And it seems like the clouds in your sky don't want to change. You see, there's always another story, another side to every coin. And how you see your circumstance is all about a choice. When you see the rushing wind, feel the pouring rain, hear the thunder now as the clouds roll in. You're blinded by the lightning. Do you also hear that? Jesus calling. What do you see when you look at your world today? Do you see a glimmer of hope? Has it all turned to gray? Well, start by counting your blessings one by one. And I'm sure right then you'll start story, another side to every coin. And how you see your circumstance is all about a choice. When you see the rushing wind, feel the pouring rain, hear the thunder now as the clouds roll in. You're blinded by the lightning. Do you also hear that still small voice saying it's okay? You're not alone. Scared to death, but I won't let you go. And you may think the sky above is falling, but can you hear Jesus calling? Oh, calling out to you, because the darker the night, the brighter he can shine. When you see the rushing wind,
song. I forgot those words. And sometimes I write them and I've just wrote these down on my paper. Oh, you may think the sky above is falling, but can you hear Jesus calling? That still small voice saying, you're not alone. Oh, my Betty, talk to me. Is that song not perfect? Because honestly, so many times we feel like our circumstances are so bad that Jesus cannot help us. Nobody can help us. And I am feeling today that there's some people out there, listeners, that are going through some things that are overwhelming to them. They feel totally inundated by their circumstances and by the mess that they're in. Betty, talk to me, and then we'll go to Carol.
Well, we had a young lady that I sat next to today in church. And when she sat down, I knew that there was going to be some kind of interaction between us before the end of the service. And sometime when you have your discerner on, which is detecting in the spirit realm that there's a need that is greater than what these people can handle.
Right.
And one of the things about bringing us out to bring us back in is that realizing that we can't do this on our own.
We cannot.
No, we can't. You know, it's like an anvil that's on your chest. Or there's a, what that song talked about, that it was raining so hard and the lightning was blinding you that you didn't know where you didn't know where to look, or you couldn't see. But once you surrender and ask God, as this lady did today, Lord, help me. Now, she's been a born-again Christian for many years, but we still get burdened with things that we just don't know how to deal with. And once you surrender, once you leave those things behind, and he's calling you back to him, he's saying, okay, I helped you through the divorce, or I helped you through the addiction. Okay. Now you're just dealing with a small dent in your car that you're afraid to tell your husband about. I'm there for you during those times too.
Mm-hmm.
No
yeah.
matter how great the problem, how small the problem is, Betty, I'm always there for you no matter
Amen.
What.
Amen. And don't you think this woman that had been bound up 18 years and somehow finds her way to that service that day was probably sitting there in her own, I don't know, we don't know anything about what she was thinking. But I'm wondering if she was just thinking, well, it's a guest preacher, you know, I'll go hear the guest preacher. Not realizing perhaps what Jesus was going to do, call her out, call her up to come up to the front, which she did, which is interesting. Walking up in that condition. Carol, talk to us about all of this. I just find this very interesting with Luke 13.
Well, I think we've been through, at least the three of us, and I'm sure most of the majority of the people listening, have been through an awful lot of storms, whether it's
right.
a physical storm or whether it's an emotional storm, financial, spiritual, whatever it is. We've been through the storms of life, just like that woman evidently had been through the storms of life. And in her day and time, it was probably spoken in the streets that she had done something so horrid that was her punishment.
Yeah, probably.
Placed her in that position.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
But she probably didn't believe that. She knew that somewhere deep inside there had to be something different for her.
Right.
Didn't know how to find it. Didn't know where to go look. Didn't know from whom it would come. But she went to hear that guest speaker. And mm-hmm. the guest speaker said, I can give you hope.
Mm-hmm.
I am your hope. Mm-hmm. I am all that you will ever need. You will be a different person when I just simply touch you. When we allow God through his son Jesus to reach down and touch us, we become different.
Oh, yes.
You know, we've been Amen. In the storm. We've learned to raise our hands in praise to him.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned to trust. We've learned to love the disciple. And Jesus has touched us. We don't ask why. We ask how.
Mm-hmm.
We sing songs of praise, and he loves you.
Woo.
The other people. We sing that song. Jesus loves you. He loves me. He loves you. He
yes.
loves Betty. He loves everybody. And he gives us wisdom, strength, and courage. And we get spiritual eyes. And then we become the guest speaker.
Wow. Absolutely. And when we think about all of that you're saying, and the changes that each of us go through in our lives, you know, we're not the same people that we were, girls. We're all in the same age bracket here, approximately. And we are not the same as we were in our 20s or our 30s, are we? I mean,
no.
We've gone through a lot. We know that God can see us through circumstances. And this woman had been 18 years in that condition, doubled over. And, you know, sometimes when we've been in the same mess for a real long time, like these 18 years or some other situation, we get to thinking that God's just forgot all about us. And I'm feeling in my spirit right now that there's some people listening right now in different parts of the globe who are feeling that very thing. God has forgotten me. God does not care about my situation. I evidently am not as loved as so-and-so because God has not changed my circumstances. Speak to that, Betty. I know in my spirit right now there's many people that are relating to this concept. Go ahead.
Well, I think even if you walk into a church today and you're carrying around the weight of the world, and if one person speaks to you, it gives you hope.
Right.
And the one thing that you have to realize is that we don't have to be clean to come to Jesus.
Amen.
We don't have to go through a regimen of things to lighten our load, and because his burden, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. And it's just, sometimes Marcia and Pastor, my friend, Carol, my friend and sister in the Lord, some people like living in that mire, in that muck. Just like you said, it's because they don't have any other way out. My brothers, my sisters, there is a way out.
Amen.
That there is a light at the end of the tunnel, so Ooh. To speak. That there is a guiding light that will bring you joy, peace, and happiness, and it will abound in you. Is that don't listen to the enemy. That's what I'm hearing in my spirit.
Okay.
Is I think that Satan had this woman bound.
It says it right here.
Years. Had her bound.
Had her bound up.
Years. And you know what? When she, and I think it was the, you talk about a guest speaker. Jesus was a guest speaker at my church. The whole church would light up because his brilliance and his presence alone would light up a dark room to 360 watts, if even greater, 1,500. I forget what the electricity, what the output of electricity is. But she knew something had to be done, because I think she got to a point, Pastor, where she couldn't take it anymore.
Yes.
Something had to be done. She got tired of walking in a bent over position to the point of, God, I can't take this anymore. Okay, God felt her out of those crowd of people.
Amen.
He knew, because he could see her heart.
Amen.
He knew she wanted to change, and that she wanted to be out from under a demonic oppression.
Amen.
She'd been in for 18 years. People, there is a way out, and Jesus is the answer.
Woo! Amen. Carol, you're going to have to talk about this in a minute after we do station ID in just a moment. Let me say this before we go there. The Holy Spirit is moving mightily in this show today, as he always does. There are people out there, and you, dear friend, may be one of those that God is speaking to today to come out of the circumstances you have been in for so long and come in to everything that God has planned for you. Stay tuned here, because we are going to get into some more nitty gritty here on this radio show today, Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope. And if you want to contact us, send an email right now, because I'm in the studio alone with my engineer today, so I do not have it up, but Carol does. Where she is, you can send an email, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Let me give that to you again. You can send a comment, you can send a prayer request, or you can say, pray for me, I am that person you're talking about. Send it, and it'll come up in front of Carol's computer. prayers@bohm, that stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, bohmglobal.com. Okay, if you want to have your prayer request prayed for by the prayer team, or if you want to make a comment right now about the show, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia, along with Betty and Carol from my radio team. Betty's in Indiana. Carol's in Georgia. I tell you, we are a global ministry. And I was telling my grandsons who are here visiting this week, spring break, that we've had a lot of people that have relocated to different parts of the United States or different parts of the globe. And we hear from a lot of people. And you can be a part of this ministry, the global ministry here. You don't have to be in Clearwater coming to our services, although if you are visiting, we welcome you to come Sunday mornings at 10:30, Wednesday night at 7. And the physical address of our church is 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North, and that is in Clearwater and basically at the corner of Drew and 19 if you're in the area. Go to our website, bohmglobal.com, and look it all up. And you can find out everything there is to do about the ministry, where we are, directions, etc. Also, the old address that we've used for years, beaconofhopeministries.com, also works. So we've just shortened it to make it easier for people to plug that in, bohmglobal.com or beaconofhopeministries.com. So we will resume our conversation here in just a minute with Betty and Megan. If you have a prayer need, we want you to use our prayer line. And it's been going now for 6 or 7 years. I can't even remember. I guess it was 08. So I think 6 years maybe. We're in our 7th year with the prayer team. There's a lot of people on the prayer team. They're scattered around different parts of the globe. If you want to be on the prayer team, Carol, it's easy for them, right? Just to write you an email?
That's correct. They can reach me at
prayers at
beacon of bohmglobal.com. I still sometimes say Beacon of Hope.
I know. Either way, it works. They both work. So
it gets to me.
Yes.
And if they can't reach me there, if for some reason they can't reach me there, they can always reach me at deaconcdw@juno.com.
Okay. So either way,
there are several ways to be reached.
Right.
You know, somebody's reaching out, and I would say this, in regard to that, I know and I can feel in my heart that there's somebody listening today that definitely sits in the shadow of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Shame of silence, as I call it.
Hmm.
And I also call it the slaughtering of the lambs.
Hmm.
When people sit, and I don't care who they are, where they are, where they, you know, what's their station in life, I don't know. But I do know when people sit in the shadow of that shame and the killing of the lambs, that's when they're under such great abuse. Nobody, and I used to tell my kids this when I taught school, nobody has their rights to put their hands on you in any way that you don't deem a responsible way.
Right.
And so many people sit in silence.
Mm-hmm.
I know in my own family, my youngest niece is sitting in silence.
Yeah.
She has been thrown down the stairs of her home more times than one.
Mm-hmm.
She has 5 daughters. The youngest one is 9. She herself will not weigh 95 pounds. And her abuser is her husband.
Yeah.
Takes her by, she has long hair. He takes her by her hair and he throws her literally out the door. Out everywhere.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
You know, and I sit and watch the damage that is done to her girls. She has 5 daughters. And I sit and watch the damage that is done.
Yeah.
Those 3 that are at their home right now are 9, 13, and 14.
Wow.
And then there's the 18-year-old that came and lived with me for a month.
Yeah.
And then there's the 24-year-old.
Right.
And they all go through the same thing. And it's a history that keeps repeating itself. And I mm-hmm. have to tell you, there's such a burden on my heart for these people. And they're not all women. Some of them are men who were bullied and beaten and disallowed or whatever, or disenfranchised from a decent word or humanity.
Right.
And it's all because the oppressor is not working with God. God
mm-hmm.
would never permit that.
No.
You know, he has called us to be emissaries out into his world. If we are to go out to bring people in, we've got to literally take that to heart in our services, in our and the way that we assist other people and listen to people's prayer. I wish, you know, sometimes I don't put the prayer that the person has written me because it is so devastating.
Right,
and
graphic.
I'm afraid people will get lost in what they're saying.
Yeah, yeah,
so
graphic.
I tried to change their words so it nobody would recognize them, first of
mm-hmm.
all. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't put their name in. I get things from men as well that have been beaten and abused and molested, and I don't, the script just goes on and on. I try to let people know that there is a hope.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Beacon of Hope ministry is all about.
Right.
That's what their prayer ministry is all about. So I know there's somebody listening right this very minute. I can almost see their face. I really can. They're sitting there going, but what do I do? How do I do it?
Well,
what to do. First thing you need to do is, if you have a spiritual language, use that spiritual language,
right.
because your oppressor, whoever he or she might be, or they might be, they cannot intercede and object to the words that you use
right.
in your spiritual language.
Mm-hmm.
That's between you and God.
Amen.
Even the devil cannot translate
mm-hmm.
them.
Right.
Now, he can translate human words. And he uses them to his total and full advantage. If you've ever been called, as my black children used to say, out of my name,
uh-huh.
which means it's something that doesn't appear to be that person's name, and it's something bad, mean, ornery, ugly.
Right.
Satan can call you out of your name, and we allow him to get by with it. But when you take, as an individual, you take a strong force, and if even if you can't see the people that are standing behind you, you throw your strong right hand up and you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you and the devil that lives within you.
Mm-hmm. Take
and
a stand.
At the same time, you're saying in your spiritual language, Father, send me. Send me hope.
Right.
And boy, I tell you what, I have watched somebody fall on their knees because they couldn't stand in the power of the word.
Woo, amen. Well, because all of that is true, there we are going to play this song by the group New Song, God Hears, and it applies perfectly right now.
Done is done. It's just so hard to lose and then go on. When all you had is not enough, it's hard to fall and get back up. When you can't breathe and your heart has lost its song. But there is hope, my friend. You will sing again. 'Cause God hears. There are no words to speak. God hears. When your sorrow runs deep and it feels like all your faith has disappeared, God hears. God hears. In a place they call Gethsemane, that's where he found his victory. When he told his Father, not my will but yours. Jesus gave his life to rescue us, and he knew that it would be enough to conquer death and open heaven's door.
thought you had is gone. When you feel lost somewhere in the silence, and fear comes rushing in, don't give up, you're not alone, no, 'cause God is here, yeah, and there are no words to speak. God is here, yeah, and His healing runs deep, and all those questions that you have just disappear.
God, I love that song. God hears. Song by New Song. We're in Luke 13, and you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're talking about the woman that was bent over with arthritis for 18 years, bent over double, could not even look up. She was in such bad shape. She goes to the synagogue for the Sabbath service, and there's a guest speaker. And it happens to be Jesus. We are in Luke 13, verse 10, 11. She was so twisted and bent up, it says, she couldn't look up. She had been afflicted with this for 18 years. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and he said, "Woman, you're free." Now, Jesus didn't call her over and say, "Woman, man, you are really in bad shape. That's too bad. I don't know what to do for you." No, he called her over and he said, before he even laid hands on her, Betty, I want your comment on this, before he even laid hands on her for her healing, he said, "Woman, you're free." Okay. He laid hands on her and suddenly, I love that word, she was standing straight and tall, giving glory to God. Betty, talk to me about that.
To be set free by Jesus, you're free indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the author and finisher of our faith. And I think that when Jesus said she was free, that meant that those demons had to flee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that Satan had to release her.
Yeah,
because those things that oppress us and keep us bound up for years, just the mention of Jesus' name, that Jesus saying it himself, just the mention of Jesus' name can set us free.
Amen.
And I think that once he said to her, now this is my own interpretation, is that when he said, "Lady or woman, you're free," her faith had to skyrocket.
It had to.
Because she knew something fantastic, magnificent, outstanding was going to happen to her.
Yeah.
Maybe years of being kicked. Maybe years of being made fun of.
Absolutely.
Maybe years of not being able to do what other women could do at that time in those days, that she knew something wonderful was going to happen.
Woo!
And then when she stood up, it's just like fireworks went off, and she was just, I think she probably was jumping for joy. Because Pastor and Carol, that woman may not even have been able to jump.
Probably not.
She could never run. She could never do what other people could do because she was under this affliction.
Yes.
But once you realize, and everyone needs to get this down in their knower, is that once you know that you are free, they have to leave.
They have to.
And they have to go. Leave, because even in John 1, it says that when God created the earth and he created light, the darkness couldn't even permeate it.
Amen. It says the darkness cannot overpower the light. Yes.
Exactly right. I'm sorry. I can't.
That's
okay. When I get these tangents, I get confused. My words
That's
get
okay.
turned around. Thank you for straightening me out on that. But it becomes a point in time when you realize, one, let's see, the faith the size of a mustard seed can open many, 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 many doors for you.
Amen.
And it's just, I say, just the name of J-E-S-U-S, and I'm going to capitalize it and underline it. Don't be afraid to say that word, because
Ooh.
That word will set you free.
Amen. Whoa, all right, you go, girl. I think it's so interesting here, both Carol and Betty, that the religious leader at the time, the president of the meeting house, if you will, got furious about the fact that she was healed. I mean, you would think that her quote-unquote religious leader, priest, whatever he was, would have been happy. Oh, this is great. Now you're standing up tall and you're not bent over. And instead he got so mad, and he got mad because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. And I pointed this out this morning in my sermon, that Jesus healed so many times on the Sabbath because it was in your face to the religious leaders that said, oh, no, you can't. You can heal some other day, but not on the Sabbath. Jesus was attacking the religious traditions mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. held people in bondage. Carol talked to me about this. Jesus did not tolerate this religious priest to get his way in this situation, did he? Are you there, Carol? Did I lose her? Whoa, Carol, are you there?
Hello.
There you are. Okay, we lost you for a minute.
I really need you guys to do something right now. Satan is mad as hell, and he's showing it right here in my own home.
Okay.
After what I guess we just espoused. I just got a message from Maxine that our checking account has been breached right now, and the sheriff's department is on our way to our home.
Okay.
It's going on right now at Fort Oglethorpe in Georgia. So, Holy Father, we just come to you now and know that this is a time of need, that this individual, whoever it is, will be stopped and caught. We ask you for that you protect us and surround us and keep us with your hands on our shoulders and just look out for us and whatever little bit of money that might be in that checking account. But this is another case, Lord, of where the Satan has interceded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Amen.
Oh, Lord, we just need to feel you with us. We know
Amen.
This is going to happen
Amen.
To us when we speak against the devil.
Right.
The three of us are bringing him to task
yes.
today and refuse
oh my.
To believe what he's saying and what he's doing and the ways that he has had our people, his people, under just always under the subjection of Jesus. We need to know that they're Yeah. that Jesus is there, and he
Absolutely.
Is with people,
he
whatever
there.
Your circumstances, whatever you're going through, I can promise you right now, he is there.
Amen.
And he will remove every piece of Satan from you.
Yeah.
You've got to reach
Amen.
Out. You've got to use your prayer language.
He's bringing you out to bring you in.
Yes.
And we
Amen.
Do agree with you, Carol, and with Maxine right now. We take authority over this breach in your checking account. We declare by the name of Jesus that it is mm-hmm. stopped right now, and that this money will be returned to you, and it will all be taken care of right now. Satan, you do not win. You cannot win in this situation, and you're not going to stop this powerful word, anointed word, that's coming forth today on this show. Satan,
Amen.
You have no authority in Jesus' name. We have authority. Jesus said, I remind you, Satan, Luke 10:19, Jesus said, I have given you, that's us, a power and authority to tread, tread on serpents and scorpions, and that means evil words and evil actions in the original Greek. So God has given us, Jesus reminds us, he's given us the power and authority to tread upon evil words and evil actions in the name of Jesus. And he also goes on to say at the end of Luke 10:19, and nothing shall in any way harm you. We claim that over your checking account, Carol and Maxine, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we are going to continue to deliver this strong word right now. This woman was bound up, and Jesus said down in verse 15, let's go here, because after the religious leader says, oh, no, no, you can't heal on the Sabbath, Jesus yells out, you frauds, F-R-A-U-D-S, frauds in the Message Bible. Each Sabbath, every one of you regularly unties your cow or donkey from its stall, leads it out for water, and thinks nothing of it. So why isn't it, this is Jesus' argument, why isn't it all right for me to untie this daughter of Abraham and lead her from the stall where Satan has had her tied these 18 years? Jesus himself makes the point that this infirmity, this disease, did not come from God. It came from the devil. And I'm going to get back to you, Betty, here on this right now. But first, I want to throw in this verse, 1 John 3:8. And it says this: the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. The word destroy there in the original Greek is L-U-O-L-U-O, and it means untie. Mm-hmm. It means undo, loosen. Why did Jesus come to this earth? To untie us from the bondages of the past that have had us all torn up for so long. Betty, comment on this before we get to this next song.
There is no other name above the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There is no other power greater than Jesus. And for people that are bound, for people who have been in a stall for so many years, the Lord is offering you his hand, his nail-pierced hand, to come out. Come out into the light and see what it's like. Being in a stall, because I have horses, being in a stall is dark, it's dreary, it's like a dungeon to some horses. If people are caught in a stall for that many years, they become depressed. There's an oppression that you can't even imagine, that I've never been under, and I hope that neither one of you have been under.
No.
But it can kill a horse.
Yeah.
It can kill a horse just in a matter of a few weeks. There's so many things that can be afflicted with. But once you bring that horse, and this is a very strange illustration, I'm going to use it anyway. When you bring that horse out into the light, there's a lot of things that disappear. There are a lot of things that are shown to be harmful, hurtful, but once the light hits it, it's gone.
Woo!
There is no more. There is no more. And once you take the word of God and you take it and you saturate your soul with it, that all of the things that you felt in that stall are gone, because Jesus is a house cleaner.
Woo!
He will clean you out and he will make you whole. And when I say that, when people are saying, what do you mean make you whole? He will make you better than you were before, because he knew you when you were in your mother's womb.
Amen.
He knows you inside and out. He knows how many, back off here.
You go right ahead.
So he knows the numbers of hairs on your head, people.
Yes, yes.
So if your Heavenly Father knows that much about you, he knows what you're going through. If you think that you can't make it out, he's bringing you closer to him. He's bringing you closer so that he can pull you out of what you're in. He can take that oppression that you're in. He can take those abusive situations that Carol was talking about, and he could make you knew. He can make those situations disappear by just the mention of his name.
Woo! Praise God.
You have inside of you that can come out in Jesus' name.
Amen. We agree with that right now. Amen. Is Megan right there?
Yes. Do you need her?
Yeah. Yeah. Right this minute.
Hold on.
Dear ones, God is moving very mightily in this show today. It's very strange. Not strange, because we never know what God's going to do. But we are so blessed to have God moving like he is today. Megan, are you there?
Hold on.
Okay. She'll get here.
Hold on a minute. She was indisposed.
Oh, okay. All right. As soon as she gets here. Before she gets here, these two verses are for somebody out there. I wrote them in my book a couple days ago. I didn't know who they were for. If they're for you, claim them. Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10. Here we go. Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. That is Psalm 9, 9 and 10. I don't know who it's for, but if it's for you, grab it, take it right now. Here it is again. Psalm 9, 9 and 10. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. That applies to you, Megan, doesn't it?
It does.
Megan, you got a bad report this week about baby Grayson, right?
I did, but I'm telling you what, by the name of God, they're wrong.
Amen.
They are wrong.
Amen.
And
we are believing that God is going to continue the healing process in your baby, and you will be delivering that little boy on April 11th. And I want our listening audience to know that there is nothing that is too big for God. With God, it says in Matthew 19:26, all things are possible with God. So we declare over you, Megan, and I wanted you to be right there, and then you can say what you want in a minute. We declare publicly in the name of Jesus that Grayson's diaphragm is going to be fine. They're either going to repair it surgically, or God is by a miracle going to have it already fixed before he's born, one way or another, and that Grayson is going to live. The word says in Psalms, I shall not die, but live and tell of the glory of the Lord. Yeah. And we declare that verse of scripture under this powerful anointing right now over Grayson Kramer. And it is this, I shall not die, but live and tell of the works of the Lord. Megan, do you have a comment before we go to the song?
Yes, I just have to tell whoever's listening that whatever miracle you need, it can be fulfilled. You have to take a stand. You have to take a stand of faith. And that's all it takes is faith. Pure faith and believing, no doubt in God, pure belief in the Creator. And that's what I have with my son, is I have pure, undoubted faith that he is going to be healed, whether it is by the hand of a surgeon or by the hand of the ultimate healer himself, that this child is going to walk this earth, and he is going to proclaim and testify about what God did in his life.
All right.
Amen.
We are in total agreement with that. Thank you, Megan, for making that declaration right now. Listen to this song. It's actually one of my favorites by Russ Lee and Michael O'Brien, When Life Gets Broken.
Hands reaching out with no one to hold. No place to go, wounded and wanting, such desperate times, cold bitter tears are filling your eyes. Get a glimpse of Jesus, for he is right there. When life gets broken, when you're in despair, you carry your burden, but when it's too much to bear, it's down in the valley where he'll give you strength, and there is nothing you have lost that he can't replace. He'll help you start. Life gets broken.
turn to years. Time's passing you by, but you're still holding on to the hows and the why. Get a glimpse of Jesus, for he is right there with you. He knows just what you need. 'Cause when life gets broken, when you're in despair, and carry your burden, when it's too much to bear, it's down in the valley where he'll give you strength. Help you start all over again when life gets broken. Healing waters heal our troubled souls. Jesus, sweet. When life gets broken and you're in despair, you carry your burden when it's too much to bear. It's down in the valley where he'll give you strength. And there is nothing you have.
It's down in the valley where he'll give you strength. I know that's what's happened with Megan. She's not the same little girl that I've known since she was 9 years old. It's
nope.
Down in the valley where he gives you strength, Betty.
And, you know, I watched, I had a dream many weeks ago that I've always been, and I don't like to use the word I, but I'm going to use it this time. I've always been a prayer warrior that's always been on the front lines.
Mm-hmm.
And you have been there. Carol's been
mm-hmm.
there. And my daughter has always thought that she's always been on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And when God calls you out,
yeah,
and he tells you that your son is going to be somebody special, that your son is going to, I don't want to say rule nations, but he's going to lead. He's going to be a leader. I don't know whether it be in this community, during my lifetime, or whatever.
You're talking about Grayson, right?
Grayson, yes. And the Lord has given her such insight. He is giving her such strength that people can't believe it, Pastor and Carol, that there's so many naysayers that say, well, if he's, you know, and Megan comes right back immediately and says, no, God has not brought me into this to leave me.
Mm-hmm.
He's brought me in to bring me closer to him.
Yeah.
So he's pulled her from the sidelines and yeah. pulled her up on the front lines. I mean,
bringing you out of the sidelines into the...
bring us in. And she's probably the person that's been closest to me that he's brought her out to bring her back in.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're standing, and as you and your church and the church here and many, many hundreds of others are standing in agreement that we're going to see a miracle happen.
Amen.
And it's going to change people's lives. It's
right.
going to change people's lives all around this country, because she's now in which the multimedia can do, is that there are people praying for her all around the country,
yes.
and even women that have children that have this same congenital abnormality,
right.
is that she's going to minister. I mean, she's had visions, and we have too, of her ministering to these people.
Praise God.
That have children that, and even one woman has told her, you're the person that I've needed to talk to.
Praise God.
So God brings us to a point where we don't think we can be used anymore,
mm-hmm.
or that we think that because of the situation that we're in, that God has kicked us in the back and he's throwing dirt on us. He's not.
Mm-mm.
He's bringing us to a point where we have to put him first.
Amen. That's it.
We have to get rid of all of our idols.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get rid of all of the things that we put first in our life.
Amen.
And make him first in our life.
Absolutely. And we have to allow him to bring us out of all of that we were so in our comfort zones. You know, we were so comfortable in the way we would think or the old tapes of the abuses perhaps that we've gone through or the way we've been mistreated. And a lot of people go through life staying in that same thing, going around that same mountain of misery that they've lived in for so long, repeating some of the same mistakes over and again and finding the same type of people that will drag them down again. Somebody, maybe it's different face, different name, but it still treats them the same way. And God is saying to our audience and to us personally, I am bringing you out of all of that to bring you in to everything that I have for you. Let's run over to Colossians chapter 1 real quick here. Colossians chapter 1, and I take it Carol's no longer on the air with us.
I'm here.
Oh, you are? Okay. Colossians chapter 1, and it's back in your New Testament. It's after Galatians, Ephesians. And let's go to Colossians 1, what verse? It's here somewhere. I will see it as soon as I will recognize it as soon as I see it.
It's 13.
Carol, go ahead and read it.
It says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
And then it refers us back to Ephesians 1:7 and 6:12.
Okay. So he has brought us, he's doing this, people, and God is so speaking strongly to us today on this show through us to you, and it is God talking and saying, it's not going to be business as usual anymore, people. We're in a brand new day. Okay, we are in a new day of God's love, of God's faithfulness, of his presence in our lives. We're in a new day where we are being challenged to step up to the plate. You know, step up, grab your bat, and swing away. Okay? And I love that because it's baseball season around here. And, you know, it's time to do that. If you always sit on the bench, you never get the joy of smacking that ball out of the ballpark. Many years ago, I'll use this metaphor and then let you two speak. Many years ago, my son Mark was in sixth grade, and he was a star on the Little League team in Newcastle. And we got all the way to the final game of the tournament. Seriously, guys, this is so crazy that this happened. And we get all the way to the final game of the tournament, and the score, the other team was ahead by a couple runs, and there were two outs, it wasn't nine, they didn't play nine innings back then, I think it was seven. Bottom of the seventh inning, and guess who comes to the plate, but Mark McAllister, okay, my son. And there he is with two outs, down a run or two. I don't remember what the score was, but down. And he gets to the point in the call that he has two strikes on him. And I'm thinking, oh my, look at the pressure on my son. Look at the pressure. He just straightened up. You know how ball players do, mess with their cap. I can still see him, you know, adjusting his batting helmet, everything, you know, and fixing his bat, taking a couple practice swings, steps out of the batter's box, steps back in with a resolute face on him and smacks that ball over the fence with it turned out to be a grand slam home run that won the whole tournament, all of it. And guys, that is the kind of determination that we have got to have spiritually. spiritually in this day and hour, it is not okay just to get up to the bat, up to the plate, and strike out and strike out and strike out and go, I'm going to go up there and strike out. Oh, come on, people. Okay. Carol, your turn.
Well, I think oftentimes when you have situations like you explained with Mark, quite often it takes a kid that's confident and knowing that they have a relationship with God and that God's watching over them.
Amen.
You know, I know that there are probably some kids, especially, and adults that may pray, Lord, let me wiggle out of this one with a win or whatever. But it's having the confidence and knowing that you've been gifted, that you can do what the Lord has told you that you can do. Mm-hmm. He believes in you, so therefore you're going to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
And as a teacher, I can tell you, when one person, whoever that person might be, believes in another person, being a child or a teacher, believes in them and says to them constantly, I believe in you, I trust you, I know you're smart, I know you hear my voice, I know you'll take a deep breath and do what you can. And then that person does it and becomes a different person altogether. And that's what God does to us. You know, he sends Jesus to tap us on the shoulder and say, look, I got you covered. You're with me now. We're the best on the team. And I always tell people this when I speak to them or when I speak to a congregation. I say something, you know, like this. When you and Jesus enter a room or in a situation, or in any heartache or whatever you might be going through, you constitute the majority.
Amen.
And the two of you can walk in any place and ask for anything. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, he's your prayer partner.
Amen.
He's the one that hears every prayer you don't even speak that you have in your mind.
Yeah.
And with that kind of knowledge, to know that Jesus is right here with me at every, like right now.
Yes.
He's right here with me. I have no fear. He is with me. I know that he can do whatever I can't do. If I couldn't get out of that bed and walk, and if I had to make that transition from being, even stepping out further, then I did. Because I knew at that point, in that bed, he was with me. That woman knew that he was with her.
Mm-hmm.
She spent 18 years in darkness. And as Betty said, when a horse or an animal has spent that time in darkness, it is difficult. They feel abandoned. They feel hopeless. And even in their heart of hearts, in an animal's heart, be it equine, bovine, canine, whatever it is.
Feline.
They know that they've been cast aside. When I go rescue boxer dogs at the command and wish of a boxer rescue unit, the first thing I do is see their face. And if all hopelessness is gone, and you can see it, then I start the work that God has given me to do.
Mm-hmm. You mean if all hope is gone, right?
Yeah. We were lost, strayed, or stolen.
Yeah.
Taken away from God's grace by Satan and his little demons running around.
Right.
When we look in that face and we see a blank face and the eyes are just, there's nobody in there. The windows, you know, eyes are windows to the soul.
Yeah.
And that's when we step in and we start giving Jesus to him, spoon by spoonful.
Yeah.
And if it's the dogs, I start by telling them, I don't care how ragged they look. Mm-hmm. Or what they, you know, how they stink or what. I reach down and take their little head in my hands and I say, you are so beautiful.
Amen.
Your Jesus loves you too.
Oh. Let's
go home.
And he does. And we're all animal lovers. I've got two dogs and Betty has 154 dogs, I think, or something.
Yeah, just about. That's
just about.
Cool.
Five horses, six dogs, 500 cats. I don't know what you have on that ranch of yours. But I mean, seriously, good point, Carol. Good point. Betty, comment on this, because this is it. We're coming out of feeling abandoned, feeling neglected, feeling like God doesn't love us, God is mad at us, God's punishing us, and coming into the glorious presence of Almighty God, where we know beyond any doubt that God loves us and has a plan for our lives, and he's going to bring that plan about. Betty, talk to me about that.
Oh, most definitely, because you know what? That's one of his promises.
Amen.
And the neat thing about it is it's like seeing someone who has, like on these makeovers, these like complete makeovers, when you see these people and their faces, know, they've been through a lot. Let's say that.
Yeah.
And they've not had proper etiquette, or they've not had proper hygiene or whatever. But it's just like Jesus to say, hey, I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you wear. You're still my son and my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I will love you just the way you are. But take my hand and walk with me, talk with me, and let me show you how wonderful that life can be when you're with me.
Mm-hmm.
And
you see, no human being has the right to destroy the joy that God has given to somebody else.
No.
It's what we're supposed to do is to build people up when they're joyless, when they're downtrodden, when they have nothing. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to offer Jesus to them in any way that we can. Maybe it's a hot meal. Maybe it's a cup of coffee. Maybe it's a smile. Maybe it's a pat on the shoulder that says, I'll listen to you. Go ahead and talk to me, honey. Whatever it might be, those of us that he's put his hands on and said, I want you to do something for me, and I want you to do it until I tell you to stop, and that will be eternity. If and when eternity ever ends, and we know that it doesn't.
Yeah.
But our reward will be that we get to go sit with him, and we get to listen to him, and we're being taught by him all the time. And if when we reach heaven, it'll be a glorious day, because we'll be able to look around and see the people that have heard his call and that have answered his call, that have lived their lives worthy to be there with him for as long as eternity runs.
Which is a great segue into this song by Terry McCallum, Holy, Holy, Holy.
You are holy.
All right.
one of the old hymns of the church done so beautifully. Holy, holy, holy. Dear folks, bow your heads with us right now. Lord, we come to you right now. We say, yes, Almighty God, you are so holy. You are the mighty God. You are working in our lives. You are changing us. You're bringing us out of the past that has bound us for so long, like this woman. And you are bringing us into your perfect plan for our lives. And our hearts cry, holy, holy is the Lord. We give you glory and praise today, because we see that you have a plan, and that you're happy. It's happening right now, and we are being changed into your likeness. And we desire you, and you're holy. We desire you, God. We desire to be all you want. Dear friends out there, make a quality decision right now to come out from all that has bound you up and move into all that he has for you.
Amen.
Carol, give us a final word.
Yes. Hello?
Yeah. Give us a final word. I'm sorry, I had a choking fit.
Okay. Sorry you're choking, so we just rebuke that. But, Father, we just thank you today that you, once again, you've opened up a window into the soul of people who need you so desperately. Yes. We just pray that every person that heard your messages today will review their lives, look at them carefully, see if it's where they want to be, if they want to stay oppressed, if they want to be depressed, if they want to be out of the world. Then we just ask you to move in their lives in a mighty way. Let somebody touch them on the shoulder and say, I'd like to share my sandwich of Jesus with you.
Yes.
I want to tell you what he's about.
Yes.
I want to talk to you. I want you to understand, I was there and look at me now.
Yes.
I've come out of it because of the words and the spiritual leading of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the way that he's watched over us, each one, and protected us. He knows our hearts. He knows what we go through. He knows the things that bring tears to our face. And we just know that his presence is with us always. And we know in Megan and Grayson that this too will be a message to other mothers and other fathers that have the hope and the prayers that Jesus Christ will deliver with you and for you a healthy child, a child that has already been ordained by him to serve as that child grows.
Amen.
And we thank you for every
Amen.
Mother and every father that are going
yes.
through that trepidation, that why me? I think the best question is, why not me? You're carrying a child that God has ordained already.
Amen.
So keep your
Amen.
Faith, keep yourself strong, keep yourself in the Word,
Amen.
And praise Jesus for every single
Amen.
Day that passes. It's
Amen.
One more day.
Amen. Amen.
That baby comes.
Woo! Hallelujah. You know, before I get back to you, Betty, I really feel in my spirit that this message today, not only has it been extremely strong, but it is for some people who have lived in situations that they felt like they could never get out. And some of our listeners, either listening now or that will listen later on the website, need to realize that God is all powerful. He's all holy. He can do anything, and he can help you get out of your bondage, get out of your situation that is wrong, that is abusive, that is unloving, that's bringing you down. And God would say to you today, there is hope for you, my dear one. You can be set free from this bondage. You can walk into the newness of life. Betty, your call. Talk.
Okay. If I may, I'd like to read something from the Jesus is Calling for today.
Amen.
I believe this will minister to someone out there.
Yes.
This
go
is
ahead.
From Psalm 36:7-9, Psalm 132:15, and John 6:12-13. I am God of both intricate detail and overflowing abundance. When you entrust the details of your life to me, you are surprised by how thoroughly I answer your petitions.
Wow.
I take pleasure in hearing your prayers, so feel free to bring me all your requests. The more you pray, the more answers you can receive. Best of all, your faith is strengthened as you see how precisely I respond to your specific prayers.
Wow.
Because I am infinite in all my ways, you need not fear that I will run out of resources. Abundance
Amen.
Is at the very heart of who I am. Come to me, O precious
Amen.
One, in joyful expectations of receiving all you need, and sometimes much more. I delight in showering blessings on my beloved children. Here's the key. Here's the key, Pastor. Come to me with open hands and heart, ready to receive all I have for you.
Amen. That's it right there. Dear listeners, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, okay? He's the answer. You know, we always close with this song that we'll do in a minute. It's not far to Jesus, okay? And no matter what you're going through, God's got an answer for you.
Amen.
And you just have to let go of the old way of thinking and walk into this new day and this light of his presence for you. We want to help you if we possibly can. We are an international ministry, and there's people that support the ministry from different places. We welcome you to become a financial partner with us. Go to our website, bohmglobal.com. You can go to PayPal, give a donation to support this radio show, and that's what it'll go for. And we want more of you to come on board with us to get this word of God out across the airwaves. So go to our website, bohmglobal.com, and learn and see what God is doing through the ministry based here in Clearwater, Florida. Carol and Betty, you are both such a blessing. This has been an incredible show, and I say incredible. And what I mean by that is such a powerful, anointed show. And those of you out there that want to share what happened to you today, by tomorrow sometime, this show will be on our website and stay on there till Jesus comes. So we've got tons, over 280 shows on our website, bohmglobal.com. So go there and you can be blessed. You can put these shows on and you can listen during the day. You can listen in the middle of the night, you know, whenever you can. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, join us for service Sunday mornings at 10:30. Wednesday at 7, Bible study. You got about 20 seconds, Carol, and 20 seconds, Betty, and we're going to our song.
Well, it was wonderful to be with both of you, and I just applaud each of you for your consistent work with the Lord Jesus Christ and the love that you have for him. And I really pray a blessing on each of your lives.
Praise God.
So God Amen. Bless, and I'm signing off.
All right. Betty, mm-hmm. final
Bye-bye.
Word.
Remember in all things, give God the glory. And I appreciate you, Pastor, for your willingness to stand strong through thick and thin. And just appreciate you and Carol both for your service to the Lord, because we have a calling on our lives, and we're so blessed to be able to on the radio and to be able to pray and minister to those in need.
Amen. Amen. This has been Pastor Marcia, Betty, and Carol sharing the Word of God with you today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's not far to Jesus. Crank it up, Cedric, and we're out of here. See you next Sunday, 3 o'clock.
Loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no from here.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.